So, talking about all this cooler weather, you walk over to that little box on the wall, and sometimes Vicky might say, "It's getting kind of chilly in here." So I either turn the fireplace on or I walk over to the wall and I adjust the thermostat. And when you adjust it, what do you expect to have happen? Well, in the winter, you want heat, and in the summer, the warmer climate, you want cooler temperatures. And you expect that, right? When you turn on the water faucet or the light switch, do you expect something to happen? When you put the key in the ignition, do you expect the car to start? I mean, these are kind of rhetorical questions. It's kind of unusual here because they ask you to what they call drip your faucets at night, so that the water lines don't freeze. Maybe that's common up there in Maine where the weather is much more severe. Wally was saying earlier today, I think they had a record of 56 degrees below zero. Ooh. So, and that was with the wind chill, I think. But, you know, the kind of the rhetorical answer to these questions I'm asking is yes, of course, you have these expectations. But what happens, and when we do these things sometimes and we don't get what we thought was going to happen? I wrote it on my notes, OMG, oh my gosh, oh my God, now what? Panic? Freak out? Well, maybe that might be initially the response, but then you know what? We possibly get our do-it-yourself hat on, or we call the repairman. Why would we do that? Because we want to get the issue resolved, right? We want to get the hot water heater working again, right, Al? We want to get the water flowing. We want to get the toilet unplugged. All these things. We want to get ultimately the issue resolved. Well, you know, trust works like this too. And actually, when you call a repairman or you're doing it yourself, you have an expectation that you're either going to repair it or you're going to watch a video on YouTube that's going to show you how to repair it. And so then you have trust in the process. Well, you know, when we claim a promise from God, we should and do, I believe, have expectation that it's going to happen, right?
Right.
So in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 1 in the King James Version, we've said this many times before, but trust when we have a promise from God, either from His written word or something that God has spoken to us personally. We have expectation that it's going to come to pass. And in Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen." Well, it used to be kind of like seeing is believing, but now it's like believing is seeing. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified says, "Now faith is the assurance or the title deed or the confirmation of things hoped for or divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses, by the five senses." Faith is outside the realm of the five senses. Faith is something that we are exercising to see the result or the evidence of something that God promises. But, like doing a DIY job, do it yourself, or calling the repairman, if we aren't getting the desired results with a particular answer from God, what happens? Is that the place where we get anxious? Is that the place where we begin to really worry? Or I'm going to figure it out myself. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get the issue resolved. I'm going to fix it myself. Well, many, many, many times in the scriptures, God encourages us to trust Him. Actually, if you heard or were on last night, Tom Woods did a teaching on David and Goliath, which is a great example of David trusting God for victory against seemingly impossible senses evidence. And so we all have Goliaths somewhere at times, fear, discouragement, loneliness, resentment, anger, and the list goes on. These are all giants that sometimes come up against the believer. And these things that I mentioned, they're all human traits that I suppose we must all face down at different times. But the cool thing about it is that there are answers and there is hope. There are answers and there is hope. So take your Bibles, please. Go to Jeremiah 32. Be here for a couple of different scriptures. So we face our giants head on, and we stand like David did in the face of the Goliath, declaring the promise of God. And in Jeremiah 32, verse 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And," let's say it together, "there is nothing too hard for thee." There's nothing too hard for thee. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen? Look at 32:27. Now, I would assume that's Jeremiah saying that. "You've made the heaven and the earth, Father God, and by great power and stretched our arm, there's nothing too hard for thee." And look at the response. Jeremiah 32:27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And maybe that's another rhetorical question, because the answer is no. There's nothing that's too hard for God, nothing too hard for God. So what do we do in our time of need? What do we do? Well, I'm going to use something that I've entitled tonight's teaching, God's Phone Number. But before I do that, I want to play this song for you. And I think it'll bless you. So hang on. that's in Psalm 18:3. We'll look at that in just a second. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. But first of all, I want to stay in Jeremiah there, chapter 33. Because I want to disclose God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. What does that say, Vicki? Can you read it?
No, I'm not there.
All right, right here.
Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great things and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Yeah, perfect. So God says, call unto me, and guess what? I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. That's God's phone number. He says, call unto me, and what? I will answer thee. And I'm going to show you things that will blow your mind, things that you don't know. That's so cool.
Oh.
Take your Bible and go to Psalm 145. Because we have Goliaths. We have the fear, discouragement, loneliness, resentment, anger, and a wide variety of other things. But we have to call upon the Lord, call upon our God, our Father. Jesus Christ paved the way for us to be able to do that. So, well, you know what I say? Let's make the call. Make the call. Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And obviously there are many, many, many other places where the encouragement, the exhortation is to call out to the Lord. And so the next logical question then is why? Why? And that also is answered in Proverbs 2, verse 6. To call to the Lord, and what is it that we're seeking? What is it that we desire? And Proverbs 2, starting in verse 6, says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Mm-hmm. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly, and he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. We call out to God, the Almighty, because God is the one who gives wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Boy, that's something that I think each and every one of us can use a whole big heaping plateful. So we want to call upon the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ in today's administration. And not just when there's an issue, but always and all the time. I want to close in Psalm 18, read these first three verses. I love that little song. I haven't heard it in a long time. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. What are my enemies? My Goliaths, those things that bother me, that afflict me, affect me, try to get my attention and get me distracted. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will, what? Trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Amen. So shall I be saved from all the giants, all the Goliaths, all the issues that come against me. We take and know God's phone number. And what is it? Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Heavenly Father, you're so good and gracious, always and all the time. And you hear the cry of our hearts morning, noon, and night, and every second in between while we're still awake. Father, we pray for great wisdom and a great heart of understanding that you can reveal yourself even more and more to us, Father. And we have the opportunity to just receive from you and then be able to live it, be able to just minister and to serve. And boy, we have a great, big, wonderful God. We're so thankful we know you and that we have a great hope in front of us, Lord. And we thank you tonight for each and every person who's called in, for their life, their love, their growth. And Father, that they also are calling out to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.